Sunday the 4th of July, Kof Beis Tammuz, Dain Yisrael Yaakov Lichtenstein, Guidelines for Peshawar.
In the past, I've also have spoken once about Peshawar, and last I spoke about was the Mila of Peshawar. Mila of Peshawar is why Peshawar is better than Din, why we prefer doing a Peshawar. Today I want to speak about the more technical aspects of Peshawar, and I've entitled the Shir Guidelines to Peshawar. But I want to explain when we use a Peshawar, why we use a Peshawar, and also how much is a Peshawar. People think that Peshawar is 50%. Not always like that. It's 50%. So just to
make a Peshawar or something?
No, there are occasions. That's the first question I'm going to speak about. What happens when the parties come into the Beis Din, and one of the parties is so convinced about the strength of his case that he doesn't want to have a Peshawar at all. He says, forget it, I want strict din. What happens in such a case when one of the parties, or even both of the parties, are so convinced of their... Sometimes I would say it comes from a genuine belief that your case is stronger. Sometimes they've been advised by either a toyin or somebody who's proficient in halacha that they are on a much stronger basis if they claim din. For instance, everybody is aware of the basic din of hamoitzi mechaveir olavaraya. That in Yiddish they used to say as Reuben is the muzik is Shimon the chayzik. It's always better to be in possession. And he figures. Listen, whether he's convinced of the emes or not is irrelevant. He says to himself, "It's in my possession. Let him bring the raya." But if he goes in with a pshara, he thinks, then I'm already going to lose 50%. So he says, "I want dafka din." Does the person have a right to insist upon din? There are certain bati dinim that will refuse to do anything like that. They say, no, we will only do a pshar. I'm going to explain a little bit why. Nevertheless, that in our Beis Din, and there are other bati dinim, that if someone actually wants to do so, I'll explain soon why, he does have the schus to demand a din. Now, why is that? The Gemara says that on the term of using a pshara, the Gemara has a term, mitzvah liftsoya. Right? Rabbi Shua ben Korcha says it's a mitzvah to make the mitzvah. So someone could say, yefshi be mitzvah, I don't want this mitzvah. Well, what is the mitzvah itself? The Gemara says at the end of the sugya, the Gemara says, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is for the dayanim to suggest pshara. As Gemara says, mitzvah lemeimra lehu dina oy pshara. In other words, the mitzvah is not necessarily a mitzvah for the litigants. Someone could think, well, why is it a mitzvah to do a pshara? If I'm sure that the money is mine, why should I do it? So the mitzvah, the Gemara says, is a mitzvah on the dayanim to suggest it. And then in Shulchan Aruch says the same thing. It's a mitzvah loymar to betchila. At the case of to the parties, hadina temroitzim pshara. What do you want? Do you want din or pshara? Now, from the fact that you already suggest there's a possibility of din, it's quite obvious that as far as the Shulchan Aruch was concerned, you don't have to make a pshara. Question in the achrenim is, but do you push it? Do you try to convince the parties to take the pshara? The Shulchan Aruch, there's two shitas on it, basically. The Sma is of the opinion, he says, that the Dayonim have to explain that what the Pshara is. They have to explain it. From the Sma is Mashma, that they actually have to try to... Sorry, Hadayim Lahazbir. He said, Dayonim Amuchuyiv to do it. The Taz, however, brings the name of the Maral. He says, no, ain't lirdoif. You don't have to do it. You can do 50%. You know, just say, oda azay. You don't have to push either of us. There's a problem in the Rambam, in the Tur, the Bach, looks at it, he says there's a shtickle steer, because first the Rambam and the Torah start off with the saying mitzvah livtzo, yeah? And it's and then they say a lashon of hareze meshubach. So the question is, do you push it or not? So I said, this is the machlokes in the Achronim. What's interesting is, not going to go into, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but halacha l'maisa, what's interesting is that the Bach says, is mashma, that the way the Bach learns is that you can push the pshara not at the beginning of the case, but later on in the case. And all the mafarshim have difficult to explain. One minute. Once you heard the case, is that the time to push pshara? And the Bach is vice versa. Yes, that is the time. And the reason is this, he says, because before you heard the case, you don't know. Maybe one guy is totally right, one guy doesn't know. But once you see that the case lends itself, or rather, you see that it's better to have a pshara, so then, but that's the time to start pushing the pshara. What's interesting is that the Shach also says, as a Lushin, he says, you should do whatever, koma de efshar, in order for them to choose a pshara. But going back to that Bach, and the Shach might be passed like this Bach, going back to this Bach, when the Bach says that the Dayonim should try to push the pshara, it's mashma, that this is not part of the Gemara's statement, mitzvah livtzoya, because the Gemara said the mitzvah livtzoya only at the beginning to offer them. As I said, the maskana was to offer them the two possibilities. Here we have a new concept. We have a concept that the Dayanim, hearing the case, feel that a pshara is in the best interest. Now there are several reasons I've explained in the past why we push a pshara. One of the reasons is, of course, that it's sometimes hard to get down to the etzem din, and the other reason is because a pshara has the possibility of making a shalom. Sometimes we'll see, and this is what I'm going to speak about now, it's not only that. The rights and wrongs actually are push the dayanim to push for a pshara. In other words, the dayanim feel that is the real psak here. Not the psak is not necessarily one should be right and one should be wrong, but the psak is that there should be pshara. Your question is going to be, why? How does that? Now, I'm going to explain how that can happen, that dayonim can come to a conclusion that the best psak here is the pshara. But before that, I just want to spend 1 minute to explain a little bit the legal rules of a pshara. Now, ideally, the way a pshara should be set up is the parties should empower the bezdin to do a pshara. This, by the way, is interesting. In English law, it's the same thing that and when you sign the deed of submission to arbitration, according to the English arbitration law, it's the same idea that the parties are the ones who actually empower the arbitrators to come to their decision. Recently, there was a decision 2 weeks ago in the High Court. It didn't get any publicity yet, but it's actually a very, very difficult decision. It could be for, but again, there was a case in the High Court recently where two Ismailim had made a contract between themselves. They were partners, and in the contract, they put in a clause that in case there'll be a sichsuch, they'll bring it to a bezdin of Ismailim, and the condition is that all three members of their tribunal, we'll call it a bezdin, have to be Ismailim. Anyway, after 20 years, they did have a fallout, and one of them decided, I need one English judge in here. So he said, I don't mind having two of the Ismailim, but the president of the tribunal, I want to be an English judge. And the other said, no, we have a contract. We have an agreement between ourselves that you have to take only Ismaili. Anyway, it went to the court, to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals, strangely enough, struck this clause out by saying it was discriminatory to say that you can only choose a Ismaili. Why? And here's what I'm going to the point. Because they said arbitration is a contract between you and the arbitrators. It's a type of employment that you're employing the arbitrator, or he's doing arrangements for you. And just as in employment law, the rule is when you offer employment, you cannot discriminate and say, I want dafke echveis a yid to do a job. So the same thing is you can't discriminate and say you want a Ismaili to do it. And now, this is in a way, one looks around, what are we going to do? Because we insist that you have to have a bezdin. What it means is, of course, that in the future, when people will write contracts, and you want to put in the clause that it goes to a bezdin, you're going to have to be very careful how you draft that contract. You'll have to either draft it and it goes to a specific bezdin, and name the bezdin, or if you want to say it goes to a bezdin, I'd say that a bezdin working according to dayanim who are qualified according to halacha, something like that. That will exclude anyone. But the fact that you just say go to a bezdin of Jews, that will be discriminatory. The reason I mention this is because you see their attitude is they look at the employer of arbitrators as an employee. Now, in halacha, there's something a little, not mamish similar. You don't look at dayanim as employees, except for the balabatim. But the idea of a dayan, of course, is a bezdin. But pshara is not necessarily part of the bezdin's remit. In other words, you according in the Torah put in the rules of dayanim, who are supposed to paskin, according to din. Nevertheless, it's become very common, of course, to empower the dayanim to do a pshara. In fact, the Rivosh in Siman Tov Daled, he says, in his time already, it was that they wrote bein ledin bein lepshara in the arbitration agreement, and then he writes kinohu gazeh firtenzach. So already then, 800 years ago, there already was the custom was to write in bein ledin bein lepshara to write that in. It's an interesting issue. Today, do you have to write that in? Many what they did insist that in their arbitration agreement it actually says bein ledin bein lepshara. And some of them even put in bein letaos. I don't know why they're so afraid of them making the toast, but so they give themselves quite a wide power of authority. But if you look, this din, this term bein ledin bein lepshara, that's empowered by the is already. I saw it. The Nachal Shiva brings it in his shtar and whereas the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch from Feldman also brings this din hengle. So, and in fact, the halacha is, I mean, if you wouldn't put that in, then the bezdin would have to paskin always according to din. In fact, the Sifri has a very interesting lashon. The Sifri in Dvorim says that a bezdin is mechuyif to paskin. He says, "Achshav," says the Sifri, "harei atem mushubadim letzibur." You are obligated to paskin the din. So if there wouldn't be that pshara, al pi halacha, you'd be mechuyif to apply din. The minhag, however, now is to put it in the pshara. The question is, can you force the bezdin to say, "No, I want to have din," and the current poskim say the following. They say since it's already become a minig hamedina to put in that a bezdin will rule according to pshara, you can't force the bezdin. What can the bezdin do? You shalom in the beginning of Sanhedrin that says Omer Rav Yosi ben Chalafta. He had some difficult. Rav Yosi ben Chalafta had some difficult. Baledin once came to them and he told them, look, he says, "Any idea l'dayin lechem din Torah? I don't know how to paskin din Torah for you." In other words, if you don't want pshara, I'm mistalik. So the poskim say that if a bezdin is concerned that they won't be able to paskin a din Torah, they can tell, and the party says, "No, ich will dafke din," they have a right to recuse themselves. But they don't have a right. They have a right to recuse themselves, excuse themselves. exclude themselves. We are not sitting in the Torah. But to force them to make up shara, normally there is no such thing. However, and this is what I'm going to discuss now, is there are cases when the Beis Din is actually allowed, in fact, almost required, to force the pshara. And this is, it gets some people aggravated. But let me explain. The Shemara brings it. It explains that the mocker is a Chuvas HaRosh. And the Shemara says like this. Yesh koyach biyad Beis Din, ligzor ulahachrim, shetiskayim hapshara. A Beis Din can actually be goyzer to force a pshara. What kind of thing is this? That a Beis Din has a right to force a pshara. The mocker is a Chuvas HaRosh. The Chuvas HaRosh, the Sfar brings it, he says, that nosnu chachomim rishus ladayim, livsoit lefi ro'is einov, b'mokam, and here are the key words, she'ein hadovor yochol hisbarer, v'rayis. This is a comment. People come into a Beis Din, and you have a Din Torah. They heard this one, and they heard that one, and at the end of the day, they don't have a big headache. They don't know who to believe. Both of them are skilled shakronim. Both of them have brought skilled Adim who have said a sheker. You know, I have my Beis Din. I have on top of where I sit. I have the Aseres Hadibros, and so I always point to it before the Adim have to say Adim. I say, look at that penultimate that Dibra. Leisan of Reacha eight sheker doesn't really help too much, but. But the Nidisaki is supposed to be my Ayim the Adim to say it. And yet I say the walls of the Beis Din is full of, we have been boileya so many shkorim, it's a wonder that the walls are still standing. And so what happens? The Beis Din is now stuck. You don't know which way to turn. You sit and there's a riot this way, and there's a riot that way, and gorge. And at the end of the day, what are you left with? One big headache, one big suffix. You don't know. Mokum shalidus bar. Says the Rosh that the dying can paskin. I know this is going to aggravate a lot of people, but it says lives like lefi rois einov kmo yishir hatayin b'loy tam u'b'loy yimer adas. They just vahainu shoot at the diner. Upom ma peep shara. He says, the Rosh says like this. Those who are underlined the Rosh. The Rosh is concerned with the Beis Din saying there used to be a Scottish type of psach called not proven. The Beis Din doesn't want, what Rosh didn't want, that the Beis Din should go home and say, Hetzi Raboisai, I'm sorry, we don't know what the din is. A guten tog. No. The Beis Din has to come out with a psak, and dinze hadover, he said, his case was, they guessed that the nitva was the ramai. But here we have the first rule. B'mokum shi'i efshe lehisbarer, that if you cannot come to a complete conclusion, the Beis Din is required to force a pshara. And this is not so rare as you might think, where the Beis Din can't come to a definite. We have a suffix. There's a suffix. By the way, the suffix doesn't make a difference whether it's a suffix in the tzius, because that could be there's a sheet in Bamasia, which is a Gershom, that says, it doesn't make it what a suffix in tzius, or where a lot of the poskim say, no, a suffix in din. That sometimes in the halacha itself may not be 100% clear. In either of those cases, usually it's the first that's one of the suffix of the Messias, where the Beis Din cannot be Mevara Klor, they cannot come to a definitive psak, halacha is they must force a pshar. That's one case. Mokum Shesha. There's another case where the Beis Din is worried about making a mistake. Now, you might say, what kind of business is this? You're worried about making a mistake? Go through the Inyan. But it's not so. The Mechilta says on Yirei Elikim, on Yisra's Yirei Elikim, Oisim Pshara Badin. They make a Pshara because Shema Yita Badin. He says, and that's why called Beis Din, Oisim Pshara Hareza Meshubach, because very often you cannot descend, you cannot to actually figure out the Din. And by the way, this is even Gdele Oilam. You have the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer says, he brings on himself, he says, Ani marchik atzmi din Torah, Rak Lasishkar, he said, Abiyah said on himself, I'm worried about coming to a definitive conclusion in very often a deterrent, and I myself push a shar. It's other cases. Another famous case is, of course, if the Beis Din comes to the conclusion that shalom it has to be arranged here between the parties. This is, it's so often, a deterrent happens between either shutfim in a business or an employer and employee, where really it's for the good of both of them that they should continue in their ASIC. And you know that if you're going to pass in the day, forget it, there's not shaykh that there's going to be an inshallah. Or, even worse, when there is a dispute, a family dispute. And family dispute, what is it going to help to pass in favor of one or the other? At the end of the day, there will not be shalom. And the Gemara says, "Eizu mishpot sheyesh shalom." The Gemara says, "That's bitzua pshara." So here you have a case that it's that the halacha is that in terms of making shalom, the Beis Din is occasionally allowed to actually impose a pshara, so that it becomes a shalom.
I said, "What is really a
rasha?" And as I said, it's up to the Ra'os Eini Hadai Adayon. The Beis Din has a power to come to make their own the decision. I'll give you an example of how often it happens. Brothers have a dispute over some a meches or whatever, whether it's a Yerusha or whether it's a business dispute. What maho ilu chachoma? What have you done if you're passing in favor of one that you just perpetuate the machlokes? What can happen, of course, is that if the Beis Din insists a pshara, that both of them collectively transfer the hatred to each other onto the dayan. But so what? You're not a member of the family.
They hate the
dayan. They hate the dayan, but together they get angry at the dayan. That's one of the risks of being a dayan. There's other cases. There are certain cases in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch brings, I'll give you an example. There are certain where Hitzoas Dibo, where somebody slanders someone. Now, originally, there were other types of knosses. Today, we don't do knosses. We don't have the power. Yet, the Shulchan Aruch says that you shouldn't just ignore it. You should work to be mafayiz the nizik. If Reuven slandered Shimon and Shimon suffered because of that, the halacha is that you insist that Reuven do something about it. You can even be goyzecherim on him. But one thing is so the post can say, the best thing is you be mafasher momnus, and you what you do is you give a type of pshara. Now, al pidin, it is no real chiyuv, but al pishara, al piyosher, there is an in. Another case, everybody knows the rule of kimli. The rule of kimli means that in chayshim mishpat, if you are in possession and you look through all the sforum, you hire a yatoin, you find one shita, one opinion that says that you are right. And then you say, Kim liben afshoyu shanim in amuit, which means, because the rule is, ein hoyochim momen acha aroiv, you can't be moitzi momen with roiv. I have an opinion, according to Geposhi, you need two opinions to have it. But once you find the one or two opinions, you walk into the Beis Din, all smiles that your case is very strong, for sure you're not going to lose it. Well, I'm sorry, gentlemen, the Achronim say that the halacha is that even against the Kimli, the Dayanim are allowed to just look at the rights and wrongs over here, and they can be mefasher and force a pshara in such a case. Another case, and this is already a much more difficult case, is when you have a lifni meshuras hadin. You know, there are plenty of cases like where meikar hadin you're not mechuyev, but lifni meshuras hadin you are mechuyev. Famous case is that if you find an aveda today beir sheruba goyim, but you find an aveda see it on the street in Golders Green, is the halach the shaila and the rishainim and in later poskim, are you mechuyev to return it? Apidin, if somebody loses an object in a ir sheruba goyim, he's zicha miyayish. And it's mutter to keep. Nevertheless, lifni mishur sadin, you are supposed to mechuyev. By the way, in today, there's even another reason. People are unaware, but the Ramo says that if al pidir no malchusa, you have to return it. You also have to return it, because the Ramo said, and which is true. If you find today an object and you say to yourself, "Oh, it says, you know, it's owned by John McDonald," right? You think sagoy avedas akum is mutter. Fine, I put it in my pocket. A guten tog, not so quick. According to law, if you have this simonimon, you have to bring it into the police station. And says the Ramo that we are dina machusa dina requires you to return it. You have to return it according to halacha also. But besides that case, in a case when you have to work lifnei mishur sadin, the shach says you can force people to do lifnei mishur sadin. That is an interesting thing. So Mamela, since not everybody agrees, when you look at the Bishayis itself, Bishayis Mashma, that you're not koifa, but since there are shitas that say koifa lifnei mishur sadin, some don't, the Ramakil says that Chazal say, loichor v'yerushalayim, elo, why? Because she'emidu devrayim al din tori, because she'emidu devrayim al din tori, they didn't go with me mishur sadin. You see how important with me mishur sadin is. Therefore, says the Rakhil, you can actually force a pshara in such a case. Now come to the last case, which is probably the most aggravating case, I say, or people that use it, and that is where does a chi of shvua. The halacha is very often that Reuben borrows money from Shimon or whatever, and he denies it. He says he's returned it, whatever. And the halacha comes out at the end of the day. There's a chi of shvua, or there's a case with shutfim or shomrim. There's a chi of shvua. What do we do with shvua nowadays? The minhag is in almost all the what they did him not to do a shvua. In fact, to insist that a shvua not be done. Well, if you don't do the shvuah, it's not only nowadays. If you look, Rashi in Shvuas brings already that in his time already no agul lo lashbi a shvuah deiraisa. But as they pass the Shulchan Aruch, we refrain from doing shvuahs. There are rare cases when a bezin does it, but normally, well, so what do you do in such a case? So halacha is the poskim say you push up shara in such a case. There's various makaris for why you should push up shara. How much should the shara be? Comes along the Shavus Yankiv, and the Shavus Yankiv says that the main makaris that it should be a third. That is to say, that if Reuven, the Bezdin sees the machlokes between Reuven and Shimon, the Bezdin is oymed according to their theory, Reuven should win, or l'chol hapachas, in a case where, let's say, the evidence is very high in favor of Reuven, and Reuven is in the case can actually, let's say, get potter because of a shvur, whatever. So then the halacha is that you mefasher a third, which is to say that the one who's a zakai only has to pay a third. Now you might say, why a third? And in fact, the poskim say that we don't always insist on the third. If there's overwhelming evidence in one thing, you mavater a little bit. Of course, if the umdina is really strong, you couldn't even be mitzimamin if it's very, very strong. But normally, where the evidence is favoring in one side, you take a look where the evidence is favor, and he gets two thirds versus a third. Now, what happens is, in a din Torah, a lot of times, a guy will say, no, I want to swear. So the question is, Bezin has to say, why does he want to swear? Because if he's a rotzach harei shvuah, if he runs for shvuahs, the halacha is, you don't allow such a person to swear. But if the Bezin sees he's right, and the evidence is favoring to him to make a shvuah, instead of making the shvuah, what we do is we make up a pshara. Of course, if the Bezin is convinced that he's right, really right, the pshara will be very little or even nothing. But in cases where there is some doubt, the general rule is we do either a third or the Bezin can tailor it. Rabbi Shafanshin is going to go to the Paskin that he almost ignored the rule of the third, and he said the Bezin should take into consideration what they think the rights or the wrongs and make a pshara according to that. Go ahead.